This is Pastor Ron Laney from Pleasant Grove Church. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in to us today, and I hope that this message is a great encouragement and a blessing to your life. Here is some good news from the Grove. This is our third week now. We started in 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon has this dream, and he encounters God in this dream. And God came to him and asked him that question, ask what shall I give to you? So kind of wrote him a blank check, said, Solomon, what do you want? And what was Solomon's answer? Remember, he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for the heads of his enemies. He didn't ask for anything material or carnal or anything like that. He asked for an understanding heart so that he could rule and judge God's people properly or righteously. He asked for an understanding heart. And we talked a little bit about that. An understanding heart is a hearing heart. It's a heart that hears. And we talked about it's a heart that hears God, first and foremost, but it's also a heart that can hear people and hear wisdom speak to him. All the factors involved and all those kind of things. So Solomon asked for a hearing heart, and God was pleased with that. Now think about this. We talked about this last week. The fear of the Lord. Well, how did that relate to wisdom? Remember the scripture we used? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That if you want to be a wise person, it starts with the fear of the Lord. And we talked about that means to be in proper relationship with God, to be connected with him in a relationship of worship and reverence and a holy fear. Not to be afraid, per se, but to have such a reverence. I kind of learned this from my papaw. He's then gone on to be with Jesus now, but he was just such a great influence in my life. And by the time I came along, he had given his heart to Jesus, and he was a completely different man than when my dad was growing up. But my papaw, I just loved him, and I revered him, and I could relate the fear of the Lord to him because I wasn't afraid of him, but I had such a relationship with him that I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. I wanted to please him. I wanted to honor him with my life. If I was out on the ball field and he was watching, I was going to show out. You understand that kind of deal? I was going to give my best. If I had a decision to make, I'd run it past Papaw. I'd talk to him. I miss him terribly. Still to this day, he's been gone almost 20 years now. But I miss him terribly. And I wish I could have some of those conversations that, hey, I got this decision to make. What do you think? You know, that kind of thing. But I revered him and in the sense of the fear, I had such a relationship with him that I wanted to know what he wanted me to do. Now I may choose to go a different direction, but I wanted to know what he thought. And I kind of learned that idea of the fear of the Lord. It was kind of, anybody ever had somebody in their life like that? Now we got people that we're afraid of. That's not what this is. Now, if you're on the wrong side of God, you've got a lot to be afraid about. But if you're connected with him, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of this wisdom relationship. Let's say it like this. When you fear God, it'll make you smarter. It'll make you smarter in all kinds of ways. All right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, we looked also last week about these three words. And you'll see these three words floating all throughout the Bible. All right, we saw it in Daniel chapter 1. It talked about them being full of wisdom and knowledge and all that kind of thing and understanding. See it all throughout Proverbs, right? Those three words, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. You see it in the New Testament. Paul writes about these kind of things. Christ is the wisdom of God to us. And may we have a spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul talks about that in Ephesians 1 prayer. These three words pop up in your Bible all the time. God wants you to have proper knowledge. That's why he sent his word. That's why he sent his son, so that we would know. And we would know the kind of information we need to know to live this life. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. We said knowledge is kind of the information, right? That's the information. You're getting the right information. And this all works in any kind of a sphere of expertise. If it's in the medical field, if it's in the business field, you need the right kind of knowledge, don't you? To be successful, to be what you need to be, you need the right kind of knowledge. That's what we're kind of concerned about our school system now. Are they really giving the right kind of knowledge? We're really struggling with all that kind of thing in our culture today, aren't we? And once you get the right kind of knowledge, you get it available to you, then we need understanding. That's comprehension, right? So it's not enough just to have a Bible. That's knowledge. You've got that. But Jesus said we need to know how to understand it. And that's where we begin to make sense of it all. It begins to come together. We have those aha moments. You ever had an aha moment when you're reading the Bible? And it doesn't make any sense at first, and you get there and you're muttering over it, and you're meditating over it, and you're thinking about it, and then maybe one day, that's it right there. That's what that means. Huh. That's when you begin to understand. And God gives us knowledge and understanding so that we will apply it to our life. That's wisdom. Wisdom is the application of all this knowledge and understanding. And if you don't apply it, let's say it like this. If you don't live out what you know and understand, the Bible calls you a fool. It says that's a very foolish thing to do, because that's like the man who builds his house right in the middle of the floodplain. Sooner or later, something's going to come, and it's going to be a horrendous crash, as What's-His-Face said on Dukes of Hazzard. Right? It's a horrendous crash. What was his name? Only thing we remember is Daisy Duke. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's the only one we remember. I'm sorry. Yeah, she kind of took over. Anyway, we went the wrong direction with that. I'm sorry. All right, so knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, right? We're applying the right. Faith without works is dead, right? Faith. So knowledge without wisdom or applying it, it's just dead. Same kind of principle, same kind of idea. So we talked about those three things. And when it comes to Scripture, we're talking about you knowing and understanding and applying or being wise in the most important information that a person can know. The Bible contains the most important information a person can know. And that information is about God. It's about you and your relationship with God. It's about life. It's about eternity. It's the most important things you can know. So we need to know it. All right. So let's keep building this. All right. So we're learning this as we're putting all this together. God is the source of true wisdom. You believe that? God is the source of true wisdom. Wisdom is a gift from God. We see that in the Solomon story, and so many times over, we've experienced that in our own life. Wisdom is a gift from God. All right, so it's something He gives us. But wisdom is also something that you need to ask for. Solomon asked for it, didn't he? Ask for wisdom. In fact, we'll get to that maybe next time. James talks about if you lack wisdom, ask God for it. So it's something that you ask for. And wisdom is also something that you seek out. So you got to put all this together. It is a gift from God, yes. It is something that you have to ask Him for, yes. It is something you have to search out. And with all of your getting, get knowledge. With all of your getting, get understanding. And with all of your getting, get wisdom. Proverbs keeps saying that over and over to us. Over and over. So it's something that God gives us, but it's also something that we have to search out. All right? Kind of the idea. Like your Bible. God has given it to you. He's given it to the whole world. It's His Word. But unless you seek it out, open it up, read it, study it, pursue it, try to understand it, you can have gold in your lap and it won't be any good to you unless you search it out. You with me on that? All right. So that's the idea of wisdom. So now we need more wisdom. That's kind of where we're at. We're asking God, give me more wisdom. Because see, you're called to do more than just exist. You're called to do more than just to take up space. You're called to do more than just to work and do all those kind of things. You are called, we are called, as God's people, we are called to rule and reign with God. You think about that. To rule and reign. Well, people are trying to do that all the time. Yeah, we watch football games this weekend, right? Somebody wants to rule on that football field, guarantee you. And when it's all said and done, somebody's going to reign, and they're going to let them know who won the Iron Bowl, and they're going to let them know who won, well, let's don't bring up the Egg Bowl. Anyway, we ain't got any the other team, do we? We got any Ole Miss people? Never mind. Don't raise your hand. No, it's dangerous. Don't raise your hand. I'm just saying. Just look straight ahead. Let's move on. Let's move on. All right. I'm a Tennessee fan, so I'm all out. All right. So, you know, we're trying to rule and reign. And the issue is, or not are you ruling and reigning, is are you doing it well? Are you doing it properly? Are you doing it the way God would want you to? So that's what the Scripture is about, is to teach us how to rule and reign with Christ in your life. We've got a calling. We've got a purpose to fulfill in our life. We're not just here for just momentary times and these places that we're in. We're not just here just to take up space. We're here to do something for God. We're called to be His image bearers, and we're going to need His help to do that. We'll need his help. We're going to need his wisdom. So you need wisdom. It's kind of like this. We know about God's kingdom a little bit. Jesus teaches us about it. The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God is like. And he gives us all these parables and things he lays out. But you know, you have a kingdom too. I just like to put it this way. Your kingdom, it's kind of like your life. You've got this life God has given you. And it's got an expiration date on it. We don't know when that might be. And you've been given time, and you've been given talents, and you've been given gifts, and you've been given abilities. You've been given resources. You've been given a mind, and you've been given opportunities. And you live in the land of opportunity. You live in America, and you, for the time being, we have freedom. And what are we doing with all of that? How are we ruling and reigning? How are you doing with your kingdom? And God, if maybe he's added somebody to your kingdom. Maybe you've gotten married, and then your kingdom kind of expands a little bit. And you get these little rugrats running around in your kingdom, and they just kind of liven up the kingdom, don't they? And you got all these kind of things. And maybe you've been blessed to have property added to your kingdom. And you know, we do that. We put fences around our kingdom because this is not just where the dogs live. It's where we live. This is our spot. And we cut the grass on our kingdom, and we paint the house in our kingdom. Why are we doing all that? We're taking care of it. And in some kind of small way, that's all taking care of your kingdom. And that may be a kind of a real basic way to look at it, but how are you doing with your kingdom? Because here's the deal. Jesus is very plain about this, that we're going to answer to God one day on how well we rule and we reigned in our kingdom. And you know what? Everybody's got a kingdom. In fact, there's possessions. If I walked up to even my own wife, if I walked up to her and just grabbed her purse, she'd say, oh, wait a minute, what you doing? Why? Because that belongs to her. It's kind of her stuff. It's kind of her kingdom. Now, she'd be all right with it eventually. And I don't know why it is. She would fuss at me for getting her purse, but she grabbed my wallet. And I look in there and say, where's my cash at? Oh, I took it. Anybody know about that deal? Anyway. Oh, that's all right. What's the old saying? What's yours is, what's that? What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. That's kind of her deal. But how are you doing with your kingdom? And Jesus is trying to teach us how to do it well, how to rule and reign well. So when we stand before God, what we're wanting to hear, this is what we should be living for. We're wanting to hear God look us in the face and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we're living for. So how are you ruling and reigning? And unfortunately, most people do not live in the fear of God, not in proper relationship with God. So therefore, they do not live in the wisdom of God, and the kingdom becomes a train wreck. You know what I'm talking about? We've all been there. There's some days in my life, years past, my kingdom didn't look too good. The kingdom didn't have walls built around it. Didn't have the proper convictions, wasn't making the proper decisions, and it's a mess. Anybody know about that? Mm-hmm. The best thing you can do with your kingdom is bring it underneath God's kingdom. And God, listen to this. God won't rule it for you, but he will help you rule it. Does that make sense to you? Like to say it like this. God won't raise those kids for you, but he'll help you raise those kids. He's not just going to come out of heaven with booming voices. He's going to use you to do it. So we need his help. All right. So before we get into our three factors this morning, let's take a look at the world without God. Paul gives us a glimpse right here. This is what the world looks like without the fear of God and without the wisdom of God. It's found over in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. You can read it along with me. It says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, dangerous times, difficult times," all right? Perilous times will come in the last days. And why are they coming? Well, because here's a glimpse of the world without the fear of God and a world without the wisdom of God. This is what the world will begin to look like. Men will be lovers of themselves, self-centered, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. That's quite a list, isn't it? It's actually exhausting to read. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form, and that gets into religion a little bit, having a form of godliness, but denying its power or God's power. And from such people, turn away. Paul says in the last days that these are the things that are going to happen in the world. Because as the fear of God gets less and less, the chaos that man causes gets more and more. As the wisdom of God, let me say it like this, as the wisdom of God gets less and less, stupid just comes to rise. Crazy is just, you know. And we could look at several other, but Romans chapter 1 kind of does the same thing in the latter half of the chapter, showing us this is what the world, we don't want to live in a world like this. What's it like to raise kids in a world that looks like that? That's rough, isn't it? It's perilous. It's dangerous. It's kind of where we're headed. You don't believe it? Turn the TV on. All right. So that's what a world looks like without God. Now let's get into this. Three factors to consider as we're making decisions, kind of doing things in our life. Three factors that we need to consider. All right. Looking at two passages of Scripture. So get ready. All right. So Ephesians 5. Are you there? We're going to look at the walk factor, the word factor, and the peace factor. These are all things you need to factor in to consider. There may be some other things that we need to consider as well. But in order to make better decisions, we at least need these three things. All right, so Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Let's read 15 through 18, and then we'll dive back into it again. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And it goes on to say a bunch of other things that are really important, but just for our sake, I just need those four verses right there. See then that you walk circumspectly. So the walk factor. He's got this idea, walk circumspectly. All right, you may have a different translation. We'll kind of get to that in just a moment. What in the world is walk circumspectly? That's not really a word we use that much. Anybody use it in the sentence this week? Probably not. Probably not. Let's see what that means because it's really important. All right, so now, he first deals with our walk. Okay, maybe you've got a Bible. Anybody got a Bible that says live or live in such a way? Is that what your Bible says? A New Living Translation says that, I think. The NIV says that, to live. The Bible uses this term walk to describe our life. And I like that term because it's not abstract. If you use the word life or live, that's kind of abstract. But if you're talking about going on a walk, I see somebody taking a walk, you know, one step at a time, that kind of thing. And that's the way life is. Life is often described in the Bible as a walk. We walk with each other. We're to walk in love. You see, walk, not just live in love, but walk every step. Every step. We walk in wisdom. Ephesians 5 is talking about that right here where we just read. To take every step a certain way. All right, so this idea of walk describes our life. And he says, when you walk, don't be a fool. Don't walk as a fool, but walk as a wise person. Not as a fool. Because, see, fools don't pay attention to where they walk. They don't care how they walk. They don't think about the consequences of where they're walking. You see the point? They don't think about the consequences of the future. Where they're walking today will affect tomorrow. They don't think that far ahead. They just kind of live in the moment. They don't look down the path. They often ignore the future for the momentary gratification. That's a very foolish way to live, isn't it? We've all discovered that the hard way. Fools don't care who they walk with. They don't care about their relationships while they walk and how to affect others. And the apostle right here says, don't walk like a fool. Don't walk in a stupid way. We've already done enough of that, haven't we? No. Okay. So walk walk circumspectly. Let's kind of deal with that word circumspectly now. Okay? Everybody say it with me. It's just a fun word to say, circumspectly. Circumspectly. It really does have a good meaning here. It's the idea of being very careful. Maybe your Bible said that. In NIV, it says to be very careful. ESV says to look carefully. NLT says, so be careful. So it's that idea of taking every step carefully. Every step is accurately placed where it needs to be. Now, I like to hike. I've been on some mountain hikes before. And you get into some spots in a mountain hike sometimes that you got to be very careful. You got to be very careful of every step you take. And every time I say every step you take, I hear a song, and I'm not going to say it because it will get in my head and I won't be able to quit. You know? Anyway. You get on those walks, and you get on those very narrow paths. Was in Israel. We're walking on these mountainsides, and you know, the path's like this wide, a foot and a half wide or so. And I got these big old clodhoppers I'm walking with, so I got to be very careful. And you got to watch because, you know, next 1,000 foot down is nothing but rocky cliffs. And you got to be very careful. And you watch every step. You ever been on a hunting hike on that kind of deal? Well, you got to be careful. And you know, if you go into certain woods, you know that there are bobcats out there. And there may be snakes out there and all that kind of thing. If somebody educates you on that, you take every step a little bit differently. You walk a little bit more circumspectly. You walk a little bit more carefully, right? That's the idea. Right? To walk very carefully. But I like the word circumspectly. Okay? I said it again. Because it draws a picture. Let me tell you, show you the picture it draws. Okay? Just kind of break this word down right here. The circum and speckly. Okay? So get this idea. Circum. It's like a circle. Like circumference. A circle, right? And speckly or spectacles. That's like, you know, I wear contacts, but I wear glasses at night, and we used to call them spectacles. Anybody ever call them spectacles? I put on my specs, you know, that kind of thing. That has to do with seeing. So this idea of walking circumspectly is the idea to see in a circle. To see all around you. To see, it's to see everything. So he says, while you're on this walk of life, he said, don't be foolish. Don't act like it doesn't matter. Don't act like steps don't have consequences and choices don't have consequences. Don't act like that. Don't be foolish like that now. He said, I want you to walk very carefully, and I want you to have the kind of wisdom and insight to look around, because it all matters. It all matters. To see in a circle. You know, it's kind of like a mom. Moms raising kids, they see in circles. I remember one time we were sitting in church and we were in the back. Just teenage, we're in the back. Mama's sitting up in front right here. And she just stands up and says, stop it. And I'm like, how'd you see me? She said, she looked at me one day, she said, I got eyes in the back of my head. Don't you ever forget it. Anybody have a mama like that? Eyes in the back of their head. They just can see stuff. It's like a mom riding in a minivan. She just can see everything in the minivan. I mean, she's sitting in the front seat driving. Stop it! She sees through seats. She sees through kids and through all kinds of stuff. She just knows what's going on, don't she? That's circumspectly. Just kind of see around. Aware. So we need God's help to do this. We've got to get God involved in order for us to see circumspectly. Because here's the truth about every single one of us. All of us have blind spots. Everybody's got blind spots. Nobody on their own sees everything that they need to see. We all have blind spots. You ever had that terrifying experience to where you're driving in the car and you change lanes? You go from the right lane to the left lane, and then you look in your mirror and boom, there's a car right there. You did not see it. Why? You got a blind spot. Now imagine making a life altering decision. Something you didn't see that you needed to see. Because you have a blind spot. So how do we get rid of our blind spots? Everybody has them. I have them. It can be blind spotted by emotion. It can be blind spotted from a lack of experience or lack of understanding what's going on. And you know, I can't see the future. And no matter what somebody tells you, you can't pay anybody to see it either. We don't know what's ahead of us on down the track a ways. So we need some help from God. We're going to need him. He's already there. He knows. That's a blind spot for me. I don't know how this is all going to turn out. I can get clouded by my own emotions. I can just be blind spotted just because I simply don't know enough. You see. So how are we going to get rid of these blind spots? Well, we have the counsel of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And man, if you have some godly, wise people in your life that can help you and help you talk things out and help you decide and help you pray and do all the things and seek the will of God, boy, that is such a blessing. You know that? We need each other. God has given us each other. And there's a such thing in the body of Christ as the wisdom of all of us is better than the wisdom of one of us. But it's interesting that Paul ends this particular passage right here. Did you see that little phrase? After he's talking about us walking properly, circumspectly, he says, be filled with the Spirit. That Jesus has sent us a guide, a helper, an advocate, somebody to walk with us and to help us and to assist us and to teach us and to guide us and to guard us and to correct us when we need it. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us. And Paul says right here at the end of this, he said, if you're going to walk properly, be filled with the Spirit. You can't do this stuff just on your own. You need God more than ever. You got it? This is the kind of wisdom we're asking for. We're asking for the kind of wisdom that sees all the factors, that maybe even can discern the hearts involved, maybe even can discern some of their motives sometimes, can understand the implications, the ramifications of it all, and even maybe even a good future, a good end. The whole picture. Maybe even the timing of it all. Timing's a real important thing. This is the kind of wisdom we're asking for. So Lord, fill us with your Spirit. So that's the walk factor, right? Lots more we can say about that, obviously. God, give me the kind of wisdom. Maybe you got a decision you got to make. Give me the kind of wisdom where I can see all around. See what I'm talking about? We need that. All right. So let's go to Colossians 3:16. Get to our second one here. The first factor is the walk factor. Here's the second factor is the word factor. All right, so we're going to go into verse 16 and go to verse 15 on the last. In verse 16 it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we got the word factor is the second thing. Making a decision. You need the word in your life. The scriptures. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, the word of Christ, just for our understanding, let the words of Christ. That helps me a little bit. I don't know if it helps you. That helps me. Let the words of Christ. You've got them right there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You've got the words. If you've got a red letter edition, you've got the red words right there. The words that Christ has spoken. And he says, let those words, especially those words. We need the whole Bible, but especially those words. Let those words dwell in you. And Jesus teaches us that words are like seeds. And Jesus' words are like seeds from heaven. Grow a different kind of crop with them kind of seeds, can't you? That they're like seeds from heaven and they're seeds that produce the kind of life that God wants you to live. And he says right here with this word factor, let the words of Christ find a place to live in your heart. David said this, I planted the word, your word in my heart, so that I wouldn't sin against you. And the instruction is you allow God's word to find a place in your heart. All right? So that you can live the way God wants you to live. So let it dwell in you. Let's hide it in your heart. Let it get down deep on the inside of you. And you need lots of seed. You need lots of seed from heaven. Lots of seed from the words of Christ to get inside of you. And that's the word richly right there. That's, let it abide in you abundantly. Let it find an abundant place. You need a lot of seed. Lots. Get every chance you can get. Whether it be through a podcast, through a teaching, through reading the Word, through listening to an audio Bible, to talking it over with your friends and family members, and just any opportunity that you can get some of that heavenly seed in you, because it'll make you a heavenly kind of person. And without that particular seed, you won't be what you need to be. I promise you. We're talking about making decisions. Without the words of Christ dwelling in your heart richly, you won't have the foundation you need to be as wise as you need to be. You won't be as wise as you need to be for your spouse, for your family, for your business, for your kids, for your friends, for your community, for God. And the words of Christ are the wisdom of God to us. And Jesus teaches us that these seeds need to find some good soil, don't they? You got it? All right, so let's go to the third one. You got it? So we got the walk factor, we got the word factor. Let's go to the peace factor. The peace factor. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the peace of God rule your heart. It's the peace factor. Okay, I'm making a decision. So this peace factor is real important. Walking, I'm looking around. I'm learning to walk right. I'm getting the word in me, because God's will is right there in his word. And now this peace factor. This peace factor, what is this? He says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it rule in your heart. Okay, now what is this idea of rule? This is a real interesting word right here. Okay. Look at this picture that it paints us right here. It means to govern or to arbitrate or to be the deciding factor. It literally is an athletic term. This is the guy that nobody seems to like on the field. It's the umpire. Anybody ever umpired a Little League game before? Oh my God, that's a special kind of hell, ain't it? It's awful. I've coached baseball all my life. I know about all that. And you know, the mamas are something, boy. I'll tell you, it's something. They can see that strike zone from 450 foot. I can just tell you, they can see it. And they're defending little Johnny to the hilt, and you are in the way. All right, and it's trouble. So this is the idea of the umpire. Okay, this is the guy at the athletic event, the football game, the baseball game. That's the guy, the referee, the umpire. That's the guy who makes the final call, and his decision is final. All right, so now let's put all that together. It says, let the peace of God, go back to that idea. Let the peace of God be the umpire in your hearts. So what, because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, God has given us a detector, somebody to help us. The Holy Spirit, the peace of God, he has given us that to help us make good decisions. You see what I'm talking about? He has put an umpire on the inside of us. And what we need to learn to do is to listen to that umpire. Stop arguing with him. Go to a ball game. Who's everybody arguing with? I mean, red team, blue team. Who are they all arguing with? Christians, we oftentimes argue with that peace, the Holy Spirit. Now, we wouldn't do that outright, maybe. Sometimes we don't like the way he calls it. Sometimes we like, did they really have to go? Did you really have to take them, Lord? I mean, it gets rough sometimes, doesn't it? Did I really have to sacrifice that? I mean, I'm over it now, and I'm glad I made the decision, but I still would have liked to have known what it would have been like for me to be a professional baseball player. But the Lord made a call in my life many years ago to drop that and to go into ministry. And I still look at him at times, and we joke around and say, you know what, I'd be joining Chipper Jones in the Hall of Fame right now. We came up together. You know, I think about that, and I'm like, whew, that was a tough call. I knew it was the right call, but it was a tough call. And it really cost me a lot. I mean, I had to sacrifice that all on the altar of serving Jesus. I don't know what he's going to call you to do. That's just what my experience has been. And that was a tough call. And we argued. I mean, I would like to be the guy that said, yeah, I just left everything and just followed him and just said, oh, yeah, let's go Jesus. But boy, I wrestled with that thing. I mean, I wrestled a long time. I mean, a whole season of my college career, I was wrestling with it. It was like, whew, are you sure about that? Lord, I can play baseball and be a preacher at the same time. My goodness. Sometimes the calls are very tough. But God gives us an umpire. Paul right here calls that umpire peace. So you know what? So if you had a decision to make, God has given you a gift. And I'm not talking about in your emotions. That's sometimes you get scared because it's sacrifice. I'm talking about something deeper in your spirit. It's deeper than emotions. Way deeper. That God can put a peace on the inside of you. Or he can do something else, and he can do just the opposite and give you a disturbance. You ever had a decision to make? And let's say how we've all done this kind of thing, you know. It's a little deeper than this, but you understand that like if you're going to buy a vehicle or something like that, buy a car. We're not talking about if it should be a red one or a blue one, but we're talking about like, can we afford it? And you know what I've always learned to do? I learned this from my papa. Go find the one you want. Talk to the man about the money. Talk to the man about the price, and then go home and sleep on it. They don't like you to do that now. But you go home and sleep on it. And that gives God an opportunity to say yay or nay. Maybe you should get that information maybe prior to sometimes. But you get that opportunity. Maybe there have been times in my life where, you know, that truck looked nice. It's great. Just what I want. $600 a month. Oof, oof, oof. And I toss them turn in my bed, $650. Oh, goodness gracious. I had to sell a dog. Oh, goodness gracious. What are we going to do the next month? And then you wake up and you say, can't do it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had God give you a gift like that? Now imagine there'd be something a lot more serious than that. Imagine it's a career move, a job. Maybe more serious than that, it's about who you're going to live the rest of your life with. Those kind of things. God has given us an ability to make better decisions. If I'm restless, my answer is at least wait. Maybe no. But if I'm at peace. Now this is... If you're in good communication with the Lord and good right relationship with the Lord, this works. Now think about how we got here. I still wake up in the morning sometimes and wonder how I got here sometimes. It all happened so fast, and we've been here for like 3 months now, something like that. Okay, you think about how we got here. It is a big life change for us. Entails some sacrifice. That's okay. It usually has that in it. Okay. We prayed about it. The opportunity came to us, and you know what? My very first, I didn't know y'all, so it's not a personal thing. My very first answer when somebody told me about the church was needing a pastor, my very first answer was no. I was quite content where we were. Our daughter had just gotten married right there in South Alabama where we were living, and we'd just recently had found out that she was with child. You know, that kind of deal. So, first answer was no. Well, then had another encounter. Somebody said, you thought about the folks over at Pleasant Grove? What are they running? How many people are over there now? Well, they told us. I was like, oh, man. I'm being honest. No, it's nothing personal. We're just like, that's probably not it. Then I had another conversation with somebody else just a few days later. This one was in person. They said, you may need to check on this. So I was actually over in Florence at the headquarters at that day, and I was headed to Memphis, which was straight shot 2 hours north, 3 hours north. I said, well, I looked it up on the map and saw where Carthage was, and I came to Carthage. Long way around to Mama's house. I came to Carthage, and I drove up, and I saw everything. And God began to say something to me. I walked around, looked at the building, kicked the tires, you know, that kind of thing. Looked in the windows here and saw the gym door was open, walked in the gym facility and all that kind of thing. Walked all around. Now, I didn't know it, what was happening, but God was putting a seed in there. Then about 2 weeks later, I had a conversation with that man right back there. Then it kind of became decision time. What are you going to do? Well, we did our list of pros and cons. And let me tell you, from our personal standpoint, with the family scattered to where it was and all that, the cons outweighed the pros. That we should stay where we are. That's in the natural where we were. Does that make sense to you? Y'all tracking with me? And then God spoke. He said, I want you to go. Some of it didn't make any sense to us, to be honest with you. He said, I want you to go. And here we are. Now, let me tell you this. Our first Sunday, I think there was something like 28 people here, something like that, 29, 30 people, something like that. Our first Sunday. Did we have a guarantee that this place in 3 months was going to triple? Did we have any guarantee about that? No. But you know what I had to have? No matter who was here or who wasn't here, I had to have the peace of God. This is the way I run my life. I have to be able to wake up every morning at peace with who I am and where I am. I didn't know any of y'all were coming, to be honest with you. I don't even still today know if y'all going to stay. That's just the life of a preacher. So what I have to do is I have to feel His peace and I have to know His peace, and then I have to leave the outcome to Him. And what if it's going to be a bloody trail? Well, I have to leave the outcome to Him. What if it's going to be great success and abundance and prosperity? I have to leave the outcome to Him, whether it be bad or whether it be rough or whether it be good and great. I have to leave the outcome to Him. And if I have His peace, I can walk through hell. If I have His peace, I won't be contaminated by prosperity. If I have His peace, I'll be in the right spot, right where I need to be. Does that make sense to you? No matter how small it is, no matter how big it is, no matter what happens, if I have His peace and I know I'm smack dab right in the middle of His will, I'm going to be okay. That's where we have to live our lives. And I just give you a little skosh of our little testimony. You have to, the safest place for you to live your life is in the will of God. That's the safest place because that's right where the peace is. And you might be going through a very difficult season. Sometimes we do. But you can go through it in peace. You know that? It's the peace factor. Isaiah 26 says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Amen. The walk factor, circumspectly. You remember that word, right? It will be a test. I'm just not the one that gives it. You understand? See all around you. Be wise enough to know you got blind spots. Ask people to help you. Godly, wise people. Not just anybody. Don't ask your best friend who's got something in it on their deal. You know, you can get real confused right there. See all around. The word factor. Get the word in you. It'll help guide and govern your heart. And then that peace factor, let it rule your, let it make the call. Let the peace of God make the call. Amen. He'll keep you in perfect peace. Now we're not talking about fault. You can develop a false peace too. Deceive yourself. Be careful with that now. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need people in our lives, godly people. The walk factor, the word factor, and the peace factor. Come on, let's pray. Lord, help us. We do struggle in this life, Lord. We've got a lot of challenges. We got to confess we don't know everything we need to know. Sometimes it's just because it's not our time. Sometimes it's maybe laziness, neglect. Whatever the case, we ask for your help. Help us, Lord. We thank you that we're not just left to our own devices. We're not just left to our own wisdom, our own knowledge, our own understanding. In fact, you tell us not to even lean on that. Don't lean on your own understanding, but to acknowledge you in all our ways, to trust you. So Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us. Help us to be the people who walk in wisdom that you want us to be. Forgive us where we've been foolish. May we even learn lessons from that. Somehow you got the ability to redeem even that. Teach us, Lord. Help us. Help us to rule and reign the way you want us to. In the name of Jesus, amen.